When you found the chapter, would you stand? I like that verse, though none go with me, still I will follow. No reserves, no retreats, no regrets. Following Christ is always worth it in the end. Verse number 18, when you found verse 18, say amen.
Amen.
Luke 13 and verse 18. Then said he, or said Christ, unto what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden. And it grew, and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. I want to preach on this thought tonight, small beginnings. Small beginnings. You pray for me as I preach. I may not be able to shout to you, but I'll squeak at you until we're done. Praise the Lord for that. Small beginnings. You can be seated. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be found in your house tonight. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd use this weak earthen vessel. Lord, I pray that you'd use it for the glory of God. Fill me with your Spirit. Hide your treasures in these vessels of clay. Lord, I pray, God, that you let us see Christ crucified. Give us a mind and a heart and a spirit for your kingdom. Help us to remember, God, that we are not our own. We are not citizens of this world. We are citizens of another world, another kingdom, and that is the kingdom of God. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us with our small beginnings. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. In honor of the reading of God's word, I want to preach on this thought, the thought of small beginnings. It probably did not take you very long while we were reading this text to realize that the main subject of Christ's discourse in this text is the subject of the kingdom of God. Did you notice that? Look there in verse 18. Then said he, unto what is the kingdom of God like? Look in verse 20. Whereunto shall I liken the what? Kingdom of God. Christ is teaching here about the kingdom that he came to build. He is teaching here about the kingdom that was his whole purpose in coming to earth. And that was the kingdom of God. Do you remember before Christ came, there was one that came before Christ by the name of who? John the Baptist. And you know what his message was in Matthew chapter 3 verse 2? He said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, Christ is coming, and his purpose in coming is to build the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and repent so that you might become a citizen of this kingdom. After John came, then came Christ. And one of the first messages that Christ also preached in Mark in chapter 1, in verse 15, he said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. I want you to realize tonight that the kingdom of God and the building of it was the entire purpose of Christ's coming to earth. So I want you to realize tonight, Christ is teaching here about the kingdom of God. And he's not teaching about a secondary important subject. He is teaching about something that is the whole reason why he came to earth, the kingdom of God. I want you to notice, number one, what Christ was teaching about. The kingdom of God. But I want you to notice, number two, not only what he was teaching about, I want you to notice where he was teaching. If you are observant, and if you're here this morning, you probably noticed that this text directly follows the text that we read this morning. Raise your hand up if you remember that. Anybody remember this morning? Praise the Lord for that. You remember we preached on the attendance of Christ in the synagogue and the attendance of the crippled woman and how Christ healed that woman, and all those that were there were amazed. We left off in verse 17, and in verse 18 he begins teaching about the kingdom of God. And so it seems to me from studying this that Christ was still in that synagogue when he was teaching on the new kingdom that he came to build. You say, what's so significant about this? Here's what's significant. Many Bible teachers today believe that this was the last time that Christ was able to attend a synagogue before he was crucified. We preached this morning how Christ was faithful to the synagogue until it reached a point where he was literally not allowed to come back. Christ was a faithful attender of the assembly of worshipers until they literally would not let him come. And many teachers have reason to believe that this was possibly the last time he was ever allowed to come. You say, what's so great about that? The leaders of the synagogue, in their great animosity toward the Savior, would not have him in their religion. The very religion that pointed to him as the Messiah, the leaders of that religion wanted nothing to do with the Christ of Israel. What does that mean? Israel in the Bible is referred to as a kingdom, the kingdom of Israel. It's referred to as a nation, the nation of Israel. It's referred to as a house, the house of Israel. And so what's going on is they are literally kicking Christ out of their house. They are kicking him out of their kingdom. They are kicking him out of their nation. Whenever they crucified him, they put a sign above him, King of the Jews. That was just to add insult to injury, just to make a mockery out of him, and to say the Jews will have nothing to do with this Christ. But that was okay. Christ, at possibly the last time he was ever in their synagogue, pretty much what he's getting at is this. It's okay, because I didn't come to build up the kingdom of Israel. You can kick me out, because that's not why I came. He didn't come to build the house of Israel. He came to build a spiritual house. He came not just for the nation of Israel, but to build a holy nation. He came not to restore their kingdom, but to build the kingdom of God as an entirely different kingdom. So what exactly is the kingdom of God? Look in Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 6. As we have already made mention, the kingdom of God is not the same thing as the kingdom of Israel. In Acts chapter number 1, verse 6, after Christ rose again, his disciples came to him, verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. What is he getting at? They said, if you come to restore the kingdom of Israel. And what he's saying, in paraphrasing, is this. I've not come to restore your kingdom. I've come to build another kingdom. And I want you to be the representatives of my kingdom. And I want you to go into all the earth and be witnesses and ambassadors for me and for the kingdom of God. You realize what he's saying? The kingdom of God, number one, is not the kingdom of Israel. And number two, it is not in any way a physical kingdom of any other sort. Whenever Christ was before Pilate, there in John 18, verse 36, Jesus answered him and said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from hence." What are we getting at here? Just stick with me. Christ came to build a kingdom. And that kingdom was not the kingdom of Israel. And that kingdom was not any other earthly kingdom. He came not to build a political kingdom. He came not to build a physical kingdom. But he came to build an invisible spiritual kingdom that was not in and was not of the world. You say, what is that kingdom? Christ is referring to the church of the living God. What is the kingdom of God? It is the church. You realize today, Christ has made born-again believers to be a part of a kingdom that is not a part of this world. Christ was rejected by the house of Israel. But in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, Peter told the followers of Christ, he said, "Ye are now built up a spiritual house." Peter told the believers in his time, "Ye are a holy nation." God, Christ, came to build another nation, another kingdom, another house. And that house, that kingdom, that nation is the church. Every house has to have a foundation, don't it? The foundation of this house, the church, is the gospel of Christ's death and burial and resurrection. Christ came to lay the foundation of the kingdom of God. In 1 Corinthians 3:11, Paul said, "Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." The kingdom of God was built by Christ. Christ is the great stone that the builders rejected. But in Psalm 118, verse 21, he said, "That stone which was refused by the builders is become the chief stone of the corner." And when the psalmist thought about how amazing this was, he said, "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." The stone, Christ, he came to the house of Israel. And they rejected their Messiah. This same stone that they refused has become the chief cornerstone of the church of the living God. You need to realize today the kingdom of God has only one foundation, and that foundation is Christ and the completed work of Christ. He is the rock that we are to build on, and everything else is sinking sand. A friend, Christ is the foundation of the kingdom of God. He came and he built the foundation, and the citizens of the kingdom of God are they that have been born again, they that have been born of the Spirit. That's why Jesus said in John 3, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see what? The kingdom of God." The foundation of God's kingdom is the gospel. And except a man be born again by the gospel, he cannot be a citizen of this kingdom of God. It's not bound by ethnicity. It's not bound by race or color or creed. It is one thing, Christ. In Christ, in his kingdom, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, but there is only the child of God. This is the kingdom that he was talking about. It is through the church that God is working in the world today by the power of the gospel. You say, "Revis, I don't want my life to really have that much to do with church." Well, you're not going to have anything to do with God then. Because God works through this church, through churches, as a body of believers. And we advance God's kingdom by preaching the gospel and witnessing to others. Every time a sinner confesses Christ as their Lord and Savior, the kingdom grows and heaven rejoices. Hey, the kingdom of God grew twice this week, just here up at Emory Heights Baptist Church. His kingdom is advancing. Do you remember there in the book of Genesis when God made man? And he gave him dominion over the earth as his kingdom. And man's job was to subdue the earth and to fill it and to replenish the earth. That was what God blessed man with. In the same way, when you are born again, born into the kingdom of God, God gives man, the born again believer, dominion, and his job is to subdue the earth with the gospel. In the same way, that is how the kingdom of God advances. But I want you to look tonight how peculiar he describes this kingdom. Look there in Luke 13. I'm going to give you two thoughts and I'm going to be done. This may be another record short sermon, but then again, you never know. Luke 13, I want you to see something. He's preaching about the kingdom of God, the kingdom that he came to build. But I'm amazed at how he describes it. Man didn't understand the church. The Jews had no concept of the church. They didn't understand it. The church is one of the great mysteries of the ages, because the cross has been one of the great mysteries of the ages as well. And so Christ describes it to them in the best way that he knows how. He describes the kingdom of God as a mustard seed and as a little leaven. Why is that? He said in verse number 19, it is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree. Then in verse 21, it is like leaven. It's like a little bit of yeast. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He said it's like a little bit of leaven that they put in three measures of wheat, of bread. He said, just like that mustard seed, one of the smallest of all seeds, can be planted in the ground and can bring forth one of the most fruitful and strong and great trees. Just like that is the kingdom of God. Just as a little bit of leaven can take a whole a lot of bread and wheat and can make that all rise steadily. That's like the kingdom of God. What's he mean? There's two things the mustard seed and the leaven have in common. Number one, they got a small beginning. They've got a small beginning. You say, what are you getting at? I want you to know tonight, God is the God of small beginnings. And he does it for his glory. I've preached it time and again, but it means so much to me that God chose weak things over strong things. He chose the foolish over the wise. He chose the despised over the noble. He chose those of small stature over those of great stature. Why? Because God uses small things. Think about these people. Here was standing Jesus. They expected a military leader. They expected a man like Saul, a man ahead and shoulders above every other man. A man that would come as a militant leader and cut the head of Rome off, if you will. A man that would lead them to the victory. And instead, here was a carpenter's boy. They said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? That's a mustard seed beginning. They said, is this not Jesus, Joseph's son of Nazareth? That's a small beginning. In Isaiah 55 or 53, I know I quote it often, but he said, he hath no form nor comeliness. He hath no beauty. When we look at him, he is despised and rejected of men. What is that? A little leaven. A little mustard seed. They said, how is this man the Christ of Israel? How is this man the Savior of the world? He's nothing but an imposter, a deceiver. His importance is of a mustard seed. You know what Jesus said? I think there was a little prophecy in there. He said, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. And listen, when it is cast into the garden. You notice he uses that word cast. Just thrown. Just planted down there with dirt stuffed over it. You say, what's prophetic about that? Christ, the mustard seed, if you will. He was rejected by his own nation, his own people. They thought of him as little as a mustard seed. That he was nothing to them. Base, rejected of men. They cast him into the ground. You know, Israel is described as a vineyard. The vineyard that rejected him, he was cast into that vineyard, mustard seed. They crucified him on a cross, and guess what? He was planted into the earth. But aren't you thankful 3 days later, the mustard seed, Christ, that was cast down of men, that was trodden under the foot of men, he bore the weight of our sins, he sprung up in life. Because he is the root of Jesse. He is the little branch of David. And the root sprung up out of dry ground. And he became a great strong tree. No longer a little mustard seed. Friend, the cornerstone that was refused by the builders has become the chief cornerstone of the church. Christ, that meant nothing to them. Now he is the Savior of the world. And he means everything to another kingdom. What am I getting at? The small beginning has a strong ending. He said the kingdom of God's like a little mustard seed cast into the garden, cast into the ground, and it becomes a great tree. And it says that the fowl of heaven, the birds of the sky, lodge in that tree. Think about what happened when Christ rose again. Think about the disciples that became the apostles that preached. And men were added to the church, and they were multiplied in the church. The church has spread all over the world, and men have come. You may not seem like it to you and I in this little area of the church, but friend, just like birds fly to that tree, men have run to the gospel for ages since then, and thousands upon thousands of people have given their hearts to Christ, and in that day they thought of him as a little mustard seed, but now he is the tree that we can abide in. Now he is the great tree, and he has enough branches that every wild branch can be grafted into the tree. There's enough of him to go around to every single one of us. He has enough sap. There's enough life in the blood of Christ to flow and to cover every single heart of every single man, woman, boy, and girl that would give their lives to him. Small beginnings, strong endings, but steady growth. It's like a little leaven. You know something about leaven? It starts small just like that mustard seed. And just like that tree, that leaven, it's not something you really just... There's no climactic way that it grows. There's nothing climactic about a way that a tree grows or a way that leavens a lump, does it? You turn your back on it for a little bit and come back, and you'll notice some results, though, won't you? You leave a tree alone for a few days, come back, you better believe you're going to see some growth on that tree. You leave a leaven with that bread in the oven, you come back, you're going to see it rise. Isn't it amazing how God allows the church to grow? It may seem like when we're in the labor that our work is so small and it feels like there's no growth. But listen, that's how God designed the church to grow. Not by means of war, not by means of forcing it upon people, but little by little it just begins to grow. I've been reminded of that today. I've been reminded when it seems like it's not growing, if I would just turn to my prayer closet, pray, and come back, you'd be surprised. The growth that you'll see in the church. I think about the two souls that were added just this week in our church. Praise the Lord for the growth. He can take a small beginning like this little church. Over 100 years this church has been here, and he's let it just grow little by little. Just grow, not in a climactic way, not maybe the big way of revival we'd all like to see, but it's growing nonetheless. What about it tonight? That's why God would use 3 Hebrew children to stand in a fiery furnace, because he likes small beginnings. That's why God used 1 teenage Israelite to slay Goliath. That's why God used a cowardly Gideon to slay the Midianites. That's why God would save 2 little kids. That's why God saved me as a kid. People probably looked at me when I was that age and said, there's no way he knows what he's talking about. There was a lot of things I probably didn't know anything about. My mustard seed of faith, mustard seed. What little bit of faith and understanding I had, I cast it upon Christ, and God allowed it to grow. You watch and see what God can let grow in his kingdom. I don't know who needs to hear this message tonight or why you need to hear it. Let God take a small beginning in your life and do something with it. And be faithful with the work God's given you. I promise you, he will not let it go without growth. It's his tree. It's his bread. It's his kingdom, not ours.
So let's be faithful to it. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Musicians are making their way. Maybe you need a small mustard seed of revival in your life. Maybe you need to just start off with a prayer for God to change you. Maybe you need to say, God, I don't even know that I'm willing, but I'm willing to be made willing. I don't really care how small your beginning is, but if you'll begin for God, He'll take care of the rest. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Revis, I need to be saved. I need to take the little mustard seed of faith that I have and cast it upon Christ. You say, Revis, I'm not saved. Would you raise up your hand and say, pray for me? Anybody like that? These altars are open. I invite you to come if you need to pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your kingdom. Lord, I'm not worthy to be a citizen. Lord, help us to advance it, though, to be ambassadors for your kingdom. God, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as we sing?